podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hello, everyone. This is Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen and Brittany. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And this is our Jacoby/Happy Thanksgiving episode, considering it's just about Thanksgiving here in the States. So, instead of talking about what we've been reading, because we haven't really been reading a lot because we've been super busy with the upcoming holidays, let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving Day traditions. Karen, do you have any cool Thanksgiving Day traditions you want to share?
I have after Thanksgiving Day traditions.
Oh!
Includes eating as many turkey sandwiches as I can possibly eat. That's my favorite part about Thanksgiving.
Awesome. And now, Karen, this is a very serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do the stuffing on your sandwich? Or is it like, no, just the turkey?
Just the turkey, because I hate stuffing.
Karen.
Oh, man.
Did I just ruin our friendship?
I don't know. It's on shaky ground at the moment. Like, okay, maybe, I don't know. So, Brittany, you're a stuffing girl, too?
Yes, with like a little, like, caveat, because my mom is like, I'm going to make stuffing. And I'm like, no, I'm a stovetop box stuffing person. Like, I don't like any deviation from stovetop box stuffing.
Oh, my. See, in my family, my grandma makes this really amazing, it's like a meat stuffing. And so it's like passed down from our French Canadian ancestors kind of thing. So it's really delicious. And so that goes on the sandwich with cranberry sauce and turkey. And yeah. So you basically have this really delicious Thanksgiving plate stuffed in between bread. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I know my dad likes to eat it that way, but I just like mayo, lettuce, turkey.
You go for the lettuce? You even put lettuce on it? Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
It's a turkey sandwich. Why is that so strange?
Because it should be like a Thanksgiving turkey sandwich. It's totally different.
I don't know.
So listeners, please chime in on the turkey sandwich debate because, you know, most of you will be eating turkey at some point in time this week. So let us know how you eat your Thanksgiving turkey sandwiches because now I'm super curious.
Also, another question, and I already know where Brittany stands on this. Homemade cranberry sauce or cranberry sauce from a can?
Now, if it's just me, I do the homemade cranberry sauce. But dealing with my family, they're more of the jellied, fresh out of the can cranberry kind. So usually it comes from a can. How about you, ladies?
I'm a can.
Oh, yeah. I could eat, like, the entire can with a spoon.
Me too.
It's so good.
All right, then. That's pretty good. So do you guys go Black Friday shopping at all?
Oh,
that's
yes.
Another thing that's, like, such a big deal coming up. Like, it's, like, getting ready to, like, get ready for the marathon here, kids. It's kind of crazy.
Well, I liked Black Friday shopping when, like, we used to get, like, donuts and go to Walmart at 4 a.m. and wait for the doors to open. But now it's like you're not even done eating dinner and Walmart's open.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
I just feel bad. I feel bad for the people that have to work because when you're in retail, holidays are not an option. I worked retail when I was in college and it's hard. There's not a lot to do to get around that. So I feel bad that Walmart opens at 6 and their employees have to be there and they can't be with their families and actually enjoy Thanksgiving. Like there are a lot of stores that actually, they're more family owned stores, but they're like, no, we will not open on Thanksgiving. We're not going to do that. It's not about that. Thanksgiving is about family. And, you know, I want to shop from them more because that's their mentality. I don't know. I like going Black Friday shopping when it's, like you said, when it's early in the morning. And, like, I usually go with my sister or a couple of my sisters. And it's just fun. We have a good time for the most part, except if you get, like, run over by a carriage, then I start to get a little, you know, cranky. But, like, for the most part, it's just something to do that's fun. But, like, I don't know, like this whole being open at 6 to sell, you know, a discount here or a discount there, it's just not worth it. I don't get it, but I don't know.
I prefer Cyber Monday.
I do too.
Yeah, but I don't have the option. I teach on Monday.
Eating your turkey sandwich. shopping online.
Yeah, see, that's the good life. Totally have to teach on Monday. Although, because up here in New England, we have this impending snowstorm tomorrow.
Oh, please don't talk about that. I'm so scared.
But they canceled school. I am so excited, you guys. I have an extra day off. Like,
oh my gosh.
Best day ever. So excited about that. But really, this is not what we're here to talk about today. We just had to get that out of our systems. We are here to talk about Jacoby, which I think is going to be an interesting conversation because maybe there's two of us that like it and maybe there's one of us that's kind of like, meh. I think we can persuade her by the end, though. I think it can happen. So if you guys have not read Jacoby, now would be the appropriate time to probably stop listening and come back at a later date if you don't want to know about the book. If you have read Jacoby, then by all means, continue to listen and, you know, send us your comments, questions, because I think you're going to agree with Brittany and I that this was a pretty cool book. Karen is in the minority. Shock, and I'm a little shocked by this. I'm really not sure what to do with it. But if you haven't read Jacoby, you guys should definitely check out audible.com. They have fantastic audiobooks. As you all know, we talk about them all the time. Love their service. I use it all the time and I'm at the gym. But definitely check out audible.com to get Jacoby and listen to it because it's got this fantastic British narrator, which, come on, who doesn't love that? So check out Jacoby at audible.com. You can get a free book from audible.com and just by going to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. So that's a free book from audible.com by going to the link audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Make sure you check out their awesome service. All right, so let's talk about Jacoby. I am a thumbs up. Brittany, you are, or I am a buy. I think you should buy the book. That's how much I liked it. Brittany, what are your feelings?
I'm a buy. I bought it and I don't regret buying it.
Yep. All right. Excellent. Karen?
I'm going to go with don't bother. I bought it for $1.99.
That's huge.
Huh?
That was harsh for you.
I usually don't say that.
Too much time with Marima. I think you have been.
Maybe she's rubbed off on me. I mean, I paid like $1.99 for mine. It was an ebook, and like that's fine. I mean, at least I didn't pay like $10 or $20 for like a hardcover or something. But yeah, I didn't. I mean, it has some good parts, but I wasn't overly impressed.
Okay. Well, we'll get into the good parts and the parts that you weren't impressed with as we continue our conversation. I really liked it. I definitely say it is a buy, but that's just me. There are a lot of things that I liked about it. Primarily, it wasn't heavily on the romance, which is always fantastic when you can get a fun story that's not all about a girl finding the boy or, you know, being in a love triangle. Always a bonus. So let's start with the pace of the book. How did you guys feel the pacing of the book was? I liked the pacing. I think it kept moving. Like, I kept wanting to turn the pages and find out what was going on next. It wasn't so fast that you felt lost, but I thought it had a good pacing to it and that there were lots of fun details coming at you at all times and you kind of didn't know where it was going to go next. And I liked that unpredictability and I liked the kind of action that kind of went throughout the entire story. Karen. Yeah. Brittany, go ahead, Brittany.
No, that's okay. I liked the pacing as well. I think that the scenes where they're walking and talking and she's trying to figure things out moved really quickly. There was one part of the book I just didn't care for at all, and I felt it took forever. And that was towards the end, once they revealed all of the supernatural creatures that were lurking about. I thought that part dragged on a little too long, but that could have just been because I didn't care for it, that little twist, but other than that, I thought the pacing was fine. It did sort of feel like I was counting down to check off every Sherlock-type reference they could make. So I was like, oh, okay, they got that one. I was just, like, waiting to check them off, but I enjoyed it. Because I think, like I said a little bit earlier before we started talking, it felt like reading a Sherlock fanfic, just with different names.
Yeah, I mean, it did a little bit, but I think, I don't know, I still loved it. Maybe it's because I love Sherlock. I have a deep love for Sherlock, so that might have been part of it. Karen, how about you? What did you think about the pacing?
Actually, the exact opposite of Brittany. I thought the build-up, I liked the fact that it built up, that it didn't just jump into it, but that we were introduced sort of slowly. I thought that was a really realistic and natural way to introduce the characters and the plot and the murder as the mystery as a whole. I particularly enjoyed the ending. I think it's because it finally all came together and I felt like there finally was some actual action. And that's when I started, you know, flipping the pages and was like, okay, how is this actually going to end? And I really got into the story, unfortunately, in just like the final few chapters.
So wait, so you thought the ending was better than the rest of the book?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, and I feel the exact opposite.
Yeah, I will say I felt like the ending dragged maybe just a little bit. Like, maybe they didn't need four chapters to wrap it up, but maybe just two. But, I don't know, I just liked it as a whole, which is odd, because usually I find something really nitpicky about it. But in general, I really liked it. So, for those of you, because we haven't explained this yet, and I realize, sorry guys, Jacoby is basically a story set in America, but it's set in the late 1800s. And Jacoby is a detective. We don't really kind of get a real sense of how old he is. Did you guys get a feel at all about how old he might be?
I feel like he's older than Abigail.
Yeah, but not and much.
Yeah, and I feel like he's like maybe as old as like
Kane?
Charlie, yeah, Kane. But I don't know how old he was. You
I would
know?
Say Abigail's probably in her like very late teens, maybe early 20s, and maybe Jacoby and Charlie are in their mid 20s.
Yeah, I felt like she was a little like maybe she was like 16, 17, and just very mature for her age because she did like kind of run away well, from.
Didn't it say she was going off to university?
Right, so that's why I put her in the 18.
Oh, I thought that she was, like, no, applying
she
her, for
no,
something.
She was going, and she took her tuition money instead. And
gotcha. I actually thought, well, I thought that Jacoby was much, much older when we first met him, and then as the story went on, and I kind of, like, I don't know, just got used to him and the way that he did things. His age kept decreasing, but I still thought he was, like, in his 30s or 40s. Like, I thought he was a lot older.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't get that vibe at all. I don't know.
I think the only reason why I definitely thought that he was closer to Abigail's age was because of the way they kept, like, tiptoeing around her not being interested in him. And then when the, like, detective or, like, inspector was, like, oh, so are you two? And she's like, no, but he would assume that because she's
right.
Like,
they're
closer
within their age range. Yeah, that's kind of the way I felt about it too. So it's a mystery. I mean, I think that's the cool thing about this too, is that nothing is overly descript. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can read it and you kind of have a sense of what the person looks like in a roundabout way, but it's not like, oh my God, this is exactly who they have to be in my head. You can kind of play with who they are because you don't have those very minute details about the characters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I will say Jacoby had a very distinct voice in my head.
Yeah?
And he was very British, even though he's American. He was very British in my head.
Actually, yeah. I kind of forgot that he was American until you just said that.
Yeah, when I was reading it, I'm like, how could, well, I think it's also because I've been watching so much Elementary, and his dialogue is on pace for the way Johnny Lee Miller delivers his lines, that I was just, he is like so far from Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock and so much closer to Johnny Lee Miller's that I was like, yes, that's why, I think that's really why I wanted to keep reading it. Why I got invested, because I was like, oh my God, it's like young Johnny Lee Miller on his first adventure back in time
with supernatural elements. So I liked, I don't know, Abigail is British because Abigail is this character, and the story is told from Abigail's point of view. It should be made clear, and I love her as a character. She basically wants to go on an adventure. She's, you know, from England. Her mother thinks that she should be very proper. She should get married, and that should be it. That should be the extent of her future, essentially. And so Abigail's like, no, there are so many more things I want in my life. And so Abigail decides, instead of going to university, she's going to take her tuition money and go on an adventure. And Abigail's father is an archaeologist. He digs up dinosaurs and whatnot. And so Abigail's begged him numerous times to take him with her, and he refuses. It's no place for a girl, blah, 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 blah. So Abigail says, fine, takes her tuition money and goes off on this adventure. And she goes to the Ukraine on a dig. It does not go well. Has a very difficult time trying to get back to England. And instead of getting back to England, she ends up on a ship and ends up in America. And this is where she lands in a fictional town called New Fiddleham. And she kind of just falls into meeting Jacoby. On her first night there, he comes up to her in the bar and starts, like, deducing things about her. And as he's deducing, he's talking about these very odd kind of supernatural elements that he notices about her, that she has this thing living on her coat and this other thing is in her hat or whatever. And so she's kind of like, who brought the crazy? And as she's at the bar, she has no place to stay. She has limited money. So she ends up being able to work to get a room for the night. And all the patrons of the bar start telling her these stories about Jacoby. And I love that. There was something so fun and amusing about how they all had a different story about Jacoby and how kind of crazy he was. And the way he dresses, he has this really horrible hat that he refuses to give away and he always has to wear. And he wears like a big scarf. And all I could think about was Doctor Who and the doctor that had the crazy long scarf. And so I don't know. I like how tenacious she is and how, for the time period, she's not quite the girl you would expect, but she's going out on these adventures and trying to do something new for herself. And her parents have no idea where she is. They have no idea what she's up to. And she's in America trying to make her way. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, what did you guys think? I liked her a lot. I liked that I kept forgetting what time period we were in until they would talk about her outfits, because as I kept reading and we kept getting further and further away from physical descriptions, I was like, wait a minute, she's like in this dress running around, like trying to like not catch her like hem anymore because it's starting to fray. And exactly. Then she comes down in like this like dressing gown because she has nothing left. But I really liked her. I liked that she took his crazy observations and was like, oh, you recognize this because of the mud on my shoes. And she's like trying to put things together with normal details and try to match what Jacoby's doing when he looks at her. So I liked that she played that role in their relationship. Like, she had a lot to contribute.
Right.
Because she read Sherlock Holmes.
Right, and he didn't belittle her in a lot of ways either. Like, so often the detective, who's so much smarter than everyone else, is, like, the belittler. Like, he's horrible to people. And I didn't feel like that's what he was. He was just, on occasion, he was condescending in his own way. But I felt like he really tried to make an effort with being like, it's a nice attempt, but no, that's not right at all. And kind of, you know, because he's got this crazy wild theory that's out of left field. So I did like her a lot. So Karen, go ahead.
I thought she was boring. I thought that the idea of her was really interesting. I agree with you guys that she, you know, the fact that she wanted to go on adventures, that she took off with her tuition money, and she was this girl trying to make it in a man's world, was really interesting. I just thought the execution was kind of lackluster. And I wanted to like her, but I found myself liking the secondary characters a lot more than I liked Abigail and Jacoby. I loved Charlie. I thought he was super cool. I loved that in the end he ended up being
Charlie was a werewolf. I can't imagine why you would love him.
Oh, it had nothing to do with that. Thank you very much.
Right.
And he wasn't a werewolf.
He was the same variation, slightly, you know.
That was not why I liked him.
Continue.
I also really liked Jenny. I wanted to know a lot more about Jenny.
I know.
She was really cool. So I was kind of disappointed that I didn't feel as much of a connection to Abigail. And I think you're supposed to feel a little bit distant from Jacoby, but I wanted to like him a lot more than I actually did.
Really? I can't believe you thought Abigail was boring. I'm really having a hard time with that. I'm not going to lie. Did you have to read the book really quickly? Is that why, maybe?
Not really. Okay.
It took
me a couple of days. It's not like I sat down and was just like, okay, I have to get this done in a few hours.
Right. Because I didn't find her boring at all. Like, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. So, Jacoby. As a character, he's eccentric and kind of got this really cool gift of sight. He considers himself a seer. So he can see all the different, like, fairy realm and stuff around them in the natural world that normal humans don't see. And I thought that was kind of a cool element to his whole detective business. Now, I have to say, I read the whole book, and I'm not sure I know any more about Jacoby from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. Yeah. But that's like, but I think that's part of the appeal of him, mm-hmm. is that you spend an entire book with him and you don't know all that much about him, you know, all that much more about him. You know, these little things here and there, but you don't know where he's come from. You don't know anything about his family. You just know that he's Jacoby and everyone in town knows him, and the police investigators reluctantly work with him and tolerate him. Like, I don't know. It's kind of cool in a sense that I really need more so that I know who he is. I don't know. What did you guys think?
I definitely feel the same way, that he's this really mysterious character, and he stays that way throughout the entire book. And I do think that's part of the appeal, because even not having loved the book, I'm kind of curious to see what's going to come next, just because we didn't learn anything about him. And I want to know how he ended up doing what he's doing. You know, he seems to know a lot of people, especially a lot of supernatural creatures. And I want to know, okay, how did he get all of those items in his house? How did he make these friends? Or, well, they're probably not considered friends, but, you know, those acquaintances who help him, or he can, like, barter with them for something. I feel like his life is really full of mystery and adventure, and to, like, see that kind of laid out in front of us would be really interesting.
And I just feel like there's so much more for Jacoby. Like, I need to know more. Brittany, how did you feel?
I feel like I know enough. I'm very satisfied with the amount of Jacoby we got. Like, I wanted actually maybe even less, because I really liked him a lot, and I've wanted him to fit more into that Sherlock mold. And like I said, I've been really into Elementary lately, so the less I know the better. I feel like I like a good mystery man who has no social skills whatsoever.
Yeah, he was a little bit lacking. I do, and I think maybe it's part of because of how I like my actual job. Like, I totally read characters or see a TV show with these characters and I'm like, oh my god, I know you. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what you would say here and how you would do this. And like, because it's what I work with. And so I just read these books and I'm like, oh, this is so great. Like, I don't know. I love it. It maybe I'm odd, but that's okay. I do really like Jacoby, though. I don't know. I thought he was a fun character in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I really liked him. I just don't, I didn't feel like I needed to know more. I don't want the mystery to go away. Yeah, exactly. I didn't need more or less. I just wanted him to keep being him.
Okay, so question for you guys then, since you keep comparing him to Sherlock. I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't connect with either him or Abigail, because I thought it basically felt like Sherlock and Watson to me. And I wanted something a bit more original, and I think that's the problem that I had, but you guys liked that comparison. Like, it didn't bother you that there was so much similarity between those characters?
But I don't think there was that much similarity. The idea of having two detectives is not unusual. Every police procedural on TV or in a book has two detectives, and she's his assistant, and I don't... Like, I think the quirkiness of Jacoby and how he behaved and his mannerisms border between Sherlock and Doctor Who. Because there were a couple of times I was like, oh my god, you were Matt Smith. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was definitely there for me as I read it. But I think Abigail as a whole is an entirely different character. I don't think of her as Watson in any way. If anything, she's more like a companion from Doctor Who, in the respect that she plays a role in his life, but she doesn't have any medical training like Watson does. She doesn't, like, everything is new for her. And it's not the same dynamic between them as it is between Watson and Sherlock at all.
I agree with that. I think that she fills sort of the same role, which is to introduce us, the audience, to the Sherlockian type character. And I feel like that's sort of why I kept thinking of her as a Watson sort of character. But I mean, I agree. She's definitely different in the fact that she's a woman, for one, and the fact that she was so outside of the norm of what women were interested in back in that time period does make her different. But yeah, just the sort of role she played to connect us to Jacoby is why I kept thinking of Watson whenever I was reading about her.
Yeah. And I didn't mind that it was sort of like, I knew going in, like, because of what was mentioned at the end of last week's podcast, just saying that it was going to be like a mix of kind of a Sherlock Holmes and Doctor Who. And that's how the book is pitched, like on any advertisement or whatever you read about it. It says flat out that it's like Sherlock and Doctor Who. So going into it, knowing that it was going to have those elements, it was a little like, you know, hitting the nail on the head a couple of moments in the book, especially at the end, the last chapter, when she's writing and she's naming the cases and she's keeping a journal about what they're solving. And it was very, that was a little too much, but I enjoyed that take on the Sherlock and Watson relationship. That's if that's what he was doing. If it wasn't what he was doing and he kind of mixed it with a companion type thing. I've never seen Doctor Who, so I have no idea what that's a companion
blasphemy.
Does.
Blasphemy right there. We're so going to have to work on that.
I've tried. It's not for lack of trying.
Okay, then.
I tried it with a couple of doctors. But yeah, so I don't know. I was in it for it being like a Sherlock adaptation. So I think that was part of my reason for liking it. I felt like it was well done.
And maybe that was part of my problem, because I actually, I couldn't, Jen, I know you were like pitching this book to me when we were in the Strand. You're like, yeah, we should do this book next. And I remember saying, oh, that sounds good. But I couldn't remember what you said about it. And I don't read the backs of books if I can help it. I like kind of going in fresh, not knowing anything about what's going to come up. And so I went into this literally not remembering anything about what the story was about. And maybe that's why I was like, wow, this is really strong on the whole Sherlock Holmes thing. And maybe if I'd been prepared for that, it would have been a little bit easier for me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, to each his own. It's, you know, it's a personal preference. There have been plenty of things that we've read that I haven't been like, oh, my God. So it happens. But I just really happen to like this book. Like, yeah, I read it really quickly and I really enjoyed it. So there are three more characters we're going to discuss that kind of play heavily into the story. One of them is Charlie Kane, and he is a police investigator, and he works a case because throughout this whole story, there are murders occurring, and Jacoby kind of inserts himself into the cases, and Abigail is his assistant, is clearly goes with him, whereas the police are like, yeah, no, the main detective's name is Marlowe, and he isn't always down with Jacoby being on cases. He doesn't like people to think he works with the crazy, essentially. So one of the police, the younger police detectives, junior detective, I think he's referred to, is Charlie Kane, and he's a really interesting character. Because he tends to believe Jacoby and Abigail and the things that Jacoby says about the supernatural. And we find out very late in the book that the reason for that is because Charlie himself is supernatural, which was kind of cool. Did you guys feel that he was supernatural from, like, as you were reading along, or did it surprise you?
It was, as soon as they mentioned the claw marks, I was like,
yeah,
oh, but before that, not a clue.
Yeah.
I thought it was when they were talking about when they found the scuff marks on the staircase, and they kept making such a big deal out of his polished shoes that I was like, something's not right with his shoes. But I thought that he was the bad person the whole time until he came to the cell.
Aw, poor Charlie.
And he could hear the banshee. Yeah, I was like, oh, he totally did it.
Oh.
So I was like very like, I was into, like, Abigail being, like, attracted to the bad person, but then I was like, oh, now he's just sad.
Yeah. So Charlie, in fact, is not a werewolf, as Karen so politely corrected me. He is a cani, which is a C-A-I-N-I, and it's a lesser form of werewolf, essentially. And so he shapeshifts, which is kind of cool. And he actually comes to Abigail's rescue at one point. And it's a very, I was a little worried for Charlie for a few minutes, like, at the end. I was like, no!
Yeah.
But Charlie is a super cool character, and I kind of hope we learn a little bit more about him, too, in the future. I'm not sure if there are more books planned. I meant to look that up before we started talking. But I kind of feel like there could be. And Jacoby is actually up, if I remember correctly from our last week's conversation, is up for an award, I think, for the YALSA stuff. So that's kind of cool. So Charlie's a really cool character. Abigail kind of gets these little feels for him throughout the thing, but nothing ever intensifies. And there's not a lot of talk about, oh my God, I'm in love. There's no swooning, which is kind of a nice change. Mm-hmm. I like Charlie as a character. Then we have two other characters who are a bit more unique, and they are inhabitants of, Jacoby's house. So, first we have Jenny. And Jenny is actually a ghost who used to own Jacoby's house. That's where she lived. And the reason Jacoby got the house was because the mayor couldn't figure out why people couldn't live in it and why there was a ghost there and people were being haunted. And so Jacoby explained that, you know, the ghost doesn't own the house anymore, but at the same time, you can't displace the ghost. So the mayor gave Jacoby the house to live in because Jacoby's the only one who would tolerate a ghost, really. And Jenny is, I loved Jenny, but I feel like I need to know more about Jenny, like what happened to her, because she's very young, I feel, to be a ghost.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's a lot of story left for Jenny to tell about what happened to her and what her life was like prior to becoming this ghost that we now know.
Do you guys have any theories about that? Because I feel like her fiance, I think? I think he murdered her.
No, I totally felt that too. As soon as I read about the fiance, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't think I like the fiance. But there was definitely some undertone there about that. So I would love to know more about what happened to Jenny. And she doesn't have, because she ends up giving Abigail some clothes, because Abigail doesn't really have a lot of clothing left after her grand tour. And so the clothes that she gave Abigail were very suitable, were very kind of practical. And they were like heavy skirts and, you know, plain shirt waists. And so I need to know what Jenny did. Like, I don't know what she did kind of thing. So I'm really curious about that.
Another thing I liked about her character was that in the beginning, there was a little bit of tension between Jenny and Abigail, but that was quickly resolved and they weren't catty. A lot of the times they were sort of together against Jacoby. And I was really glad that the author decided to go in that direction, because a lot of times they have, you know, two women opposing each other, and that's where a lot of the conflict comes in, or, you know, the love triangle aspect. And he didn't do it with the two of them, and that was really nice.
Right, and I think the initial conflict more stemmed from Jenny didn't know that they were going to have a new person in the house.
Right.
And so it freaked her out. And Abigail went into Jenny's bedroom. Because
yes.
Even though Jenny's a ghost, she still has her own room. Which, again, is really cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's about propriety, and even though it's the ghost, it's, you know. So I thought that was really cool. Brittany, what did you think about Jenny?
Yeah, I really liked her. I thought that, like, along what Karen was saying, that they were going to pit them against each other. I was, like, waiting for the conversations for Jenny to be like, well, I know him better, and he likes things done this way and this way and this way, and being, the jealous ghost type, as ghosts can be. But they didn't do that. And I really liked it. And she doesn't take any crap from him or anyone. And she kind of looks out for Abigail to make sure she's not in over her head.
Right. So even as a ghost, she's pretty fierce. And I mm-hmm. like that a lot. I thought it was interesting because at one point in time, she looks at Abigail and she's like, do you care for him? Meaning Jacoby. And Abigail's like, no. Like, it was such an odd thing. But the ghost was, I mean, Jenny was just really kind. And she's like, well, he's a good man. And so I feel like Jenny has a lot of respect for Jacoby. And she wants him to be happy. But at the same time, she's also very, protective of those who come around, because Jacoby is eccentric and he's odd and he does strange things, and he has a laboratory in the kitchen now, so the kitchen's not really all that functional. So I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. And then this is quite possibly my favorite just kind of quirkiness about everything, is that there's also Douglas. Now, Douglas was Jacoby's assistant prior to Abigail. Douglas is now a duck, which...
And a very sassy duck at that.
I know! I loved him! For someone who says nothing, I really loved Douglas, truly. Like, I thought he was fantastic.
I mean, he is so, like, well-developed as a character that I could just, like, feel the sass, even though, like you said, he does not utter a word entire book.
There is no dialogue for Douglas, but you feel him. You get when he's flipping you the feathers, you know what I mean? Like, it was so, like, I loved it. And just the way they talk about the house, because the house is another thing. It's so unique. It's got, like, a pond and a whole area in the third floor for Douglas. Like, it's so cool. Like, I don't know. I loved it. And Douglas was essentially turned a duck on a mission, essentially, if you will. Jacoby sent him someplace to investigate on his own. And he did, and he, as the curse was being flung, Jacoby got there in time and said, duck, meaning get out of the way. And, yeah. Douglas was turned into a duck.
That's so fantastic.
I know, it is so good. So that was really entertaining. And Jacoby went to all kinds of lengths to try and return Douglas back to human, but Douglas has to want to turn back to human. And right now he's a little reluctant. So it's all up to Douglas of whether or not he becomes human again.
That was the most interesting part for me.
That's super cool.
Yeah, and Jacoby said something, or no, it was Jenny who said something about if he goes back to being human, he's going to lose the person that he is now and the human that he was before. And I thought that was really profound, and especially coming from her, because she knows a lot about life and death and transitions and sort of becoming, I'm sure, a different person now than she was when she was alive. It was a really interesting sort of, yeah, profound look at this kind of funny aspect to the story.
Yeah, I really liked it. I would kind of like to know a little bit more about the case Douglas was working, because it's kind of intense if someone's throwing a curse at you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was a lot more to that case as well. Like, I feel like there's lots of little hints throughout this novel that makes you want to ask more questions, that makes you want to read more. So, at least me, because I love the detective-y stuff and all that. So, I don't know. All right. So, moving on from Douglas the Duck, who I kind of love, let's talk about the mix of detective and supernatural elements. Well, how did you guys feel about that? Were you cool with it? Did you feel it was a little much? Would you rather just detective stuff? Or did you guys like the mix?
In the beginning, I was kind of hesitant about it, because I think I was expecting it to be so much more like Sherlock that I was like, wait a second, you know, what are all these random, like, creatures that aren't necessarily even creatures that we know a lot about, like vampires and werewolves? And yeah, they have things like, I've heard of red caps before and stuff, but these, you know, the creatures that lived in her jacket and her hat, like, I was like, what is this? Is he just making this up? I have no idea. But as the story progressed and we actually got to the actual plot of it, I thought it became a lot more interesting. And that was one of the unique aspects of the book that I felt like together those two elements, the detective work and the supernatural work, it really meshed and it made it something different than just, you know, another Sherlock-esque type of story.
Yeah, I was happy with the balance of supernatural with the detective, only because it would never felt like it was too much, because that usually turns me off from something right away. I'm not a huge supernatural type of book person. That it just never clicked with me. So the part that I found the most boring and I felt like it slowed the book down was, like I referenced before, was the reveal and the fight. I think I tweeted, I was like, it's like a Twilight fight scene just randomly in the middle of the book is what I felt like, with werewolves and things attacking each other. I just lost all interest as to who was in what shape or form and where those things happen. But that's just something that I'm not too interested in, but I liked it up until that point.
Yeah, I think I liked the balance of elements, and I liked the way that it was kind of woven into the natural world, if you will. Like, there was a banshee, and then, so you know when you hear a whale, or when one person hears a wailing and no one else can, that usually it's a banshee and she's signaling your death, right? So it's not like Lydia from Teen Wolf. It's a different kind of lore that's attached to a banshee. And so from there, I love, and did you guys catch that she was called the Morrigan?
Yeah.
And the Morrigan relates to like fairy tale stuff, which I thought was really cool. Or not fairy tale, like fairy realm like stuff, like stories. So I thought that was really cool too. So it was like these little nods here and there of supernatural elements or fairy elements that didn't overwhelm everything. So I kind of really liked that. And I feel like I should have known who the killer was long before I did, because of the whole concept of Red Cap. Like, I felt like I should have known better. And when it finally I was like, oh yeah, that makes total sense now, actually. So I don't know. I really liked the way the elements were dispersed throughout, because it felt like it fit a little bit more into the natural world than just being, you know, this. And I liked the fact that the killer was not a vampire, because at one point in time, you're kind of led to believe that it could be a vampire in a sense. So I really liked the fact that it was something completely different, and that we weren't working with supernatural elements that we see excessively, that a lot of the stuff was new and different. So I really liked that a lot. All right. So what did you guys think about the plot? And I know, Karen, this might be where it all falls apart for you, but so the plot is basically this murder mystery where we have a murder happens. Jacoby and Abigail check it out. They realize something's not quite right about it. And then they move on and they kind of, they're investigating it. And then another murder occurs, or they know another murder is going to occur because the banshee is wailing and someone can still hear her wail. So they know that this man is going to die, but there's nothing they can do for him. And so at one point they're even suspected of being a part of the murders. So it's kind of, I liked it. I thought it was cool. I thought it moved pretty quickly and it kept me interested, especially with all the little elements and details, and you never were sure who the killer was. So what did you guys think about the plot?
This is actually the part that I liked the most, believe it or not. Woohoo! Yeah, and I, you know, like I said before, I had trouble connecting with Abigail. Couldn't really find myself caring about her running away from home or what her parents thought about where she was and all that sort of like background info and the sort of side plot to her needing to find a home and an employer and that sort of thing. The murder mystery was the most interesting part, because it took me a really long time to figure it out. And I like it when the mysteries are challenging. And I was really hoping that Charlie wasn't going to be the bad guy, and he wasn't, and that was a relief. And so I liked it a lot more because of that. I think if he had turned out to be the bad guy, I think I would have been super disappointed. But I like that they decided to go in a different direction and take a character who wasn't really at the forefront of the story, but was kind of there, at least mentioned throughout the entire book. And it's always cool when they can kind of trick you like that.
Yeah, Brittany, how did you feel?
Yeah, I agree with Karen. I really liked the plot, especially because I didn't know who did it. Every time I thought I had it figured out, I was wrong. So I liked that being proven wrong all the time, constantly. It kept it surprising. Until the whole, you know, in the woods thing, I just felt like it was too, it's not my taste. Right. But right. The ending was good. I liked how they figured out a way to have Charlie, like, you know, still relevant, even though he's not in the town anymore. And they left it open for, like, a sequel. And I wouldn't feel like it would be old to hear more from any of these characters. So I did like it a lot.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. So that's saying something. Because there's sometimes I read books and I'm like, oh. But this one, I read it, like I said, it was a really quick read for me. And I didn't feel like any one plot point got too hung up. It kind of just kept moving. So, all right. And Abigail's ending. I see you wrote this down, Karen. So why don't you go ahead and elaborate on that?
Okay, so this was a really interesting part of the book because I don't remember her name, but the old lady who had, like, the invisibility cloak.
Houghton?
Yes.
H-A-T-U-N, so I think yes. That's how you say it.
She basically predicted Abigail's death, and Abigail thought she was going to die in the forest, and then Charlie and Jacoby saved her, and so she didn't die, and she's like, oh, ha, you know, she's wrong sometimes, it's no big deal, but at the end of the book, you get the sense that Jacoby is very worried about this. And he tells her, look, you can stay on with me, but you're not going back out in the field. You have to be my, like, office assistant. And you can tell it's because he doesn't want anything to happen to her. And by the end of the book, she sort of weasels her way into going back out into the field. And the reason why I found this so interesting is, if there are more books, and I assume there have to be, I mean, it definitely sets up for more adventures. It would be really interesting to have Abigail die. And I know I kind of sound like Kyle right now, but I swear it's not just for the sake of her dying, but the sake that it's a main character that hopefully over the course of a few more books we really fall in love with and then have to deal with the death of that character. And especially for somebody like Jacoby who has seen so much and been through so much, and I assume he's been through a lot of assistants. I think he said like 5 or something like that, and they've either left or something tragic has happened to them. This would just be sort of like another nail in the coffin for him, and I would be really interested in seeing how he would react and deal with Abigail dying.
Yeah, especially since he went through such great, like, tried to make such a great point of not bringing her out into the field anymore, mm-hmm. and saying, like, you can organize the books and you can do this and that around the house and making it, because you can tell by the end that he does take that warning very seriously. So I liked that there was that open-ended thing, like, if she does follow him, like, that's where it's going to end up.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, too. It's an interesting way to play a main character, because she is the one telling the story at this point in time. And the reality of it is we know that ghosts exist in Jacoby's world, and they can choose to stay or go or not. So even if Abigail did die, as predicted, she could be a ghost in that world. And Jacoby, I think, would be miserable about that. But at the same time, I think that it does add an interesting element to all of it. So it is an interesting thing, that the fate that she's choosing, because she's choosing to put her hands and basically to put her life in Jacoby's hands in a lot of ways, because Houghton predicted was that if she follows Jacoby, she will die. Her demise is inevitable in a sense, right? So I think it's really interesting that she's choosing to do it anyway, even though he's willing to keep her on and still pay her and give her room and board. Just to stay in the house and to not follow him out. She's insistent about following him out because she wants her adventure. So, I don't know. Do you guys also, this is kind of random and out there, but there was a picture taken of her when they were leaving and they were in handcuffs because they were being arrested. Do you think at some point her parents will find out?
I feel like her parents finding out would definitely be, like, that could be a main conflict for either the next book or just a future book in general. I didn't think about the picture, though. I mean, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because that could make it across the pond.
Right, because it was kind of a big deal. So I could definitely see that plant coming into play, too, because as soon as at the end, she got that letter, and even though it was from Charlie, I was like, oh, it's from Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Like, I was really a little concerned that Mom and Dad had finally tracked her down. So I think that would be an interesting conflict as well to come up for her, because that's a whole lot different. Yes, you've made a life for yourself, but you've also run away from home. And, you know, British girls don't do that back in that day. That's not something they do. So it would be interesting to see what her mom and dad decide to do. Or, you know, back then it's scandalous to be out on your own as a girl, especially in the society that she is from. You know, you're supposed to be married. That's supposed to be your life. And here she is living randomly with a guy in America. So what would they do? How does that work? So I thought that was really interesting as well. Lots of things to possibly look for in future books. So do you guys have anything else to add about Jacoby? No. Karen, have you changed your mind at all through our conversation?
I have not. I think that the parts that I liked, I like more now that I've discussed it with you guys. But I still feel basically the same about the book. But I will say, for those of you that did like it, I'm still interested if there is a second book. And I really think there's going to be at least a sequel. If not, you know, this will be like a series. I'm interested to see where the story goes. So maybe going into the second book, knowing what it's about and sort of how this world operates, I'll enjoy it a lot more. So I would still give the second book a try.
Okay, I can live with that. I will convince you one way or another, Karen. All right, Brittany, any other comments about Jacoby?
No, I refuse to accept that he is 1,000% American.
I love that. Love that about you. All right. So that pretty much wraps up our discussion about Jacoby. Of course, if you guys have any comments, questions, whatever, you know to tweet us. We will gladly read those out the next time and chat about them, because I'm really curious to see what other people thought about the book as well. And of course, you guys can leave comments in the show notes. For everyone in America, we want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. For everyone else, have a fantastic week. And we will talk to you guys next week when we bring to you the most fantastic What to Get the Book Lover in Your Life podcast. So all those things that we basically want people to buy for us for Christmas, we are so going to talk about next week. It's the best episode ever, because we basically get to go shopping on like Etsy and everywhere else. And it's so much fun. We don't actually shop. We just, you know, window browsed, if you will.
Wish list.
Yeah, we have a very long wish list by the time we're done with that episode, just so everyone knows. All right. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Brittany.
Bye, guys.